Praise God. Amen. In your Bibles tonight, we're going to turn to Corinthians. There's two of them, isn't there? So we'll go to the second one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Chapter 5 has got a lot of good things in it. The new creature in Christ Jesus. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Does powerful statements. Ambassadors for Christ. Wow. The word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. But verse 14 and 15 focuses on one theme. He died. He died. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And I like this. It's not a postscript. It's not a just a little tale. Is added on, and rose again. Praise God. Amen. But that doesn't cancel out the fact that he died. It was over. It ended with finality. And not that he was, you know, you read obituaries today, and it's somewhat comforting to read that they died with their family around them. They died peacefully, or after a long struggle with cancer, or however the obituary might read. When he died, it was horrible. It was devastating. The scene was horrific. I'm sure their vision was blurred with tears throughout the whole day, the 6 hours that he was on the cross, and even the time before that, when they knew he was being so mistreated at the hands of the priest and the governor. But he died. And then he died for all. That's all of us here, all of us in this community, all of us in this state, and no matter what region, continent, hemisphere, whatever you would care to name, he died for all. Praise God. I'm so glad that I know why he died. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. You consider the birth and life of Jesus and the miracles that accompanied each aspect of that in the 33 years that he lived. The Gospels being full of good news. Good news, of course, is what gospel means. And thank the Lord, that's what he had to offer. His death, his burial, and the resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, constitute what we call the gospel. And it's good news because he did die. He was buried. But thank God he rose again. And we understand that in the plan of the Lord, Jesus was made lower than the angels for this reason, so that he could suffer death. And the death that he endured, as the Bible let us know, is he tasted death for every man. In other words, he took our place. And no one needs to be left out. And the need is there because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not reaching where we need to be, not in our own ability, not in our own goodness, not in our own righteousness or whatever measurement, whatever metric you want to bring forth. It always falls short. And that's why he went to the cross. Romans 5 asks the question, who would die for a righteous man? Who would die for a good man? And some might put themselves forward to take the place of those that they would love and those that they would desire to see to live. But the scripture goes on there in Romans 5 to say the ungodly are who he died for. The sinners, the enemies of the cross. And thank God he put himself forward to die for us. Amen. There's a passage that I believe it occurs four times in the epistles that Paul wrote. Four times. He gave himself. And we know that to be a fact. We know that to be the ending of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all verify that he gave himself. But I'm thankful that that passage goes on to add two words, for us. He gave himself for us. Praise God. Not just a historical event that happened over 2,000 years ago. Not just so that we could say Jesus of Nazareth was born and lived and died and was buried. But he gave himself for us. Thank God for that power and that blessing. For the disciples, that time must have been a nightmare. They must have wished and hoped that this was all going to pass. It was all going to be over, that they would wake up from a horrendous dream and know that it did not happen. It was just something they dreamed. He's still alive. He's still doing miracles. He's still speaking truth to them. But the stark reality of the one who was light and life to them, and they saw that demonstrated time and again, was now dead on the cross. Gasping, breathing his last, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. A contrast from those, as I started to say, that they died with their family around them. They died peacefully and so on. This was far from peaceful. It was far from being the comfort of those that he trusted and called friends and family that were around him. It was horrible. And then followed 3 days of deep despair. And the fact remains that it seems so final. Even though he told them again that he told them several times, a handful of times as it were, the Son of Man is going to be arrested. He's going to be mistreated. He's going to die. But he will rise again in 3 days. Praise God. Those words were out of their memory. If they did rehearse them, if they did somehow recall them, it did not have an impact. It did not encourage. It did not lift up. It must have just gone right over their heads, as it were, because it was over for them. But thank God that message came to pass. Amen. The power of the Lord came forth very wonderfully. Peter and all the others hiding, trying to be exist in obscurity, not wanting to be noticed, not wanting to be known by the high priest or any of the others who may come and arrest them and bring them into a sham of a trial that was a travesty for the Lord. And they too end up on the hill on a cross. And that was their fear. That was what they were trying to avoid. But yet the Lord appeared to them. Praise God. And we are so thankful that there is a resurrection. And it's amazing how Peter, just over 50 days later, would preach on the day of Pentecost and have the positive promise of the Lord being fulfilled in their lives. And then fearlessly declaring, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain Jesus Christ. Just over 7 weeks ago this happened. And yet he's fearlessly declaring it and letting them know, Jesus, whom you crucified, is made both Lord and Christ. Praise God. And it was that fearless kind of preaching before the rulers, the elders, the scribes, and so on. And then in chapter 4, we know he appeared before Annas and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, the kindred of the high priest, and so on. He declared it to them as well, very directly. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Letting them know it's his name that makes this man stand before you whole. Praise God. It was that kind of fearless preaching that brought about the repentance. What shall we do? They interrupted Peter. And of course, his answer, very plain, very straightforward, and very simple. You know, and there's no need to complicate salvation. There's no need to make it something that is far beyond what it is. I'm glad it is miraculous. I'm glad it is powerful. I'm glad it is liberating and delivering, praise God. But how simple, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What an awesome, awesome experience that we have in the power of the Lord. Praise God. But his death was the payment. His death was the divine plan. And it was something that the disciples did not understand, nor did they want to dwell on it. That maybe that's it. Maybe that's the thing. They don't talk to us about death. We see you raise people from the dead. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. Don't emphasize death. We don't want that. I suppose if we were in their place, that might be our preference as well. We would want to dwell on the life that he has given. Praise God. And thank the Lord for the power and the blessing that his death would bring to us. And obviously, the death that he desires us to experience in the divine design. Not a physical death. We know that's coming. But a spiritual death, where the apostle would say, I die daily. And we might say, what? What do you mean? And we know what he was referring to. And that daily aspect, you know, we could say, like he told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord added daily to the church. Oh, those are, yeah, we like that. That's wonderful. But die daily? Got to think about that one. Well, you do have to think about it. You do have to make it part of your discipline in walking with the Lord. Praise God. Because that was written in the chapter about the resurrection. And thank God. Was it? Is it in chapter 15? 1 Corinthians? Is that where Paul said, I die daily? He talks about the resurrection so thoroughly in 1 Corinthians 15. The death, the burial, the resurrection. That's the gospel. And then if Christ be not risen, then is our faith vain. And all, you know, on and on. Rise, rose, risen, raised. He mentions those terms over and over. And right in there, he says, I die daily? Apparently, that's something real important. That's something that we've got to identify with the Lord and know that that is being. In fact, Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, here's one of them, and gave himself for me. Wow. Galatians 2:20. So the five I's in that verse, pronoun I, and the three me's that are in there, you count them, I 5 times, me 3 times. He wants us to make it personal. He wants us to make that verse apply to us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. And so it's got to be something that I recognize. Okay, that's what the Lord expects of me. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I want to identify. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if that's true, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Amen. And thank the Lord that that can be fulfilled with our lives being in conjunction with His and in one accord with Him. Praise God. You were crucified with Christ, and you set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. I think somebody read that as their key verse here the other day. Praise God. We're looking for things above, not things in this world. Praise God. And we set our affections on things above. We've crucified the lusts and the affections of this world, but our affections are on Him. Praise God. And desire to follow through on what He declares. So Paul says it very emphatically, nevertheless, I live. Praise God. And it was something that he didn't have to qualify. He said, Christ liveth in me. Praise God. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was very emphatic upon it all, helping us to understand. It wasn't a poor me. Oh, poor me. My goodness. You look at 2 Corinthians 11 and the list of all the things that Paul went through, the difficulties that he faced, the trials that he endured. There definitely could be a poor me strain in his letters if he wanted to. But no. He wrote in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God, through him. Again, there's that connection. There's that strength. There's that blessing. And that's why the text that we read in 2 Corinthians 5 says, you don't live to yourself. You live for the one who died for you. Praise God. And his life is in you because he rose again. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord that we recognize there is that life that he has imparted to us. Amen. We die in repentance, but we live in the resurrection of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the love of Christ constrains us. That love of Christ that has been imparted to us. And then we reciprocate with a love for Christ. Praise God. And it changes our lives. It brings us into fulfillment of even greater measures, even greater things, even more powerful of what we're ever to even to experience. Praise God. Because there's victory through his death. The devil had the power of death. But the Lord, in Hebrews 2 and 14, destroyed him who had the power of death. Praise God. I'm thankful he came to destroy the works of the devil. Thank the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, all about life, all about resurrection. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. And we'll move into that realm of eternal life. We would recognize, oh, death, you have a sting. Oh, grave, you have a victory. And we might, in our own existence, our own experience, would be able to agree that there is a sting, there is a finality, there it almost seems like there's a victory, and we're not going to be able to defeat it. But I'm thankful the scripture does say it as a question. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Because it's been eliminated. Oh, death, where is thy victory? You've been defeated. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that power. Thank the Lord for that blessing. Thank the Lord for that goodness. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because He died. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord that there is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power to bring healing. Power to bring deliverance. Power to bring salvation. Power to lift us up above the things of this world and move us into the realm of His glory and His victory again and again. Amen. Thank the Lord that we have something greater to read and to look to than the things of this world. The things of this world are so discouraging. It's so terrible. Again, the news report would put the Catholic Church in the gun sights of the media and say it's horrible, it's awful, it's terrible. But then on the same page, I hesitate to even say it, but you may have seen it, that there are those who want to emphasize gender and all of that are having adults stripped naked in front of a 14-year-old. But yet they condemn, and rightly so, not excusing it. But then putting this stuff up and calling it education? This is a sick world. And oh, thank God we've died to it. Amen. I won't live to this world. This is not my portion, not my home, not my inheritance. I'm going somewhere higher. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere greater. I'm going somewhere where there's more power and glory and blessing that the Lord would impart. Because He died. Amen. Paid the price. Made sure His blood was efficacious. Made sure it was what could bring healing and what could bring deliverance and what could wash away my sins. Praise God. What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that power. I'm thankful for that blessing. I'm thankful for that reality. Let's love the Lord together right here. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, I glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen. If you've wondered why we call it communion, 1 Corinthians 10 and 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They couldn't grasp it. They just were so confused that their confusion led to departure. Instead of staying with it, instead of holding on, instead of determining, what does he mean? Maybe he's going to explain. Let's listen a little bit longer. Let's stay with him. I mean, we're still digesting the meal he gave us here in a miraculous way. He's a God of miracles. Let's stay with him. No, they wandered off. God help us understand how powerful and how wonderful this is. And the blessing that he's provided in letting us partake of a memorial of his body and his blood. Praise God. And he let us know that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do it in remembrance of him. Amen. And so the scripture lets us know eating the bread and drinking the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The problem was the Corinthian church was aware of social and economic status. There was the very poor, there was the elite and the rich. And they were making sure that those class distinctions were being observed. And the unity of the body was not there. The unity that should have been celebrated of the body of the Lord was something that they were missing. And that's why he said, you're participating that way, you're out of unity. It's unworthy. And so the examination, obviously, is to look at our lives and to understand his blood was shed for you. Forgiveness, cleansing, remission of sins. Not only that, but healing, powerful, wonderful, complete healing. Oh, how incredible, how amazing what he's provided for us. Praise God. Do I treat it lightly? Do I just shrug and say, oh, well, this is just something we do. Just the time of the year. We're going to do foot washing. We're going to do communion. And we're going to go on. God help us to understand the price was real. And I thank God he's not on the cross right now. Nor is he in the tomb right now. Praise God. He arose. Amen. But he did pay that price. He did hang on that cross for 6 hours. He did suffer torture, being spit on and slapped and blindfolded and yelled at, prophesy, who hit you? You know, just the mockery. And even when he was on the cross, they mocked him. He saved others. Let's see if he'll save himself. Why don't you come down from the cross? You have the power to. All the different ones that would hurl that in his face. And all the time, his body racked with pain. His breath coming in gasps. He'd straighten his legs out on that nail so that he could breathe a little bit normally, and then cramps and exhaustion and shaking, and his knees would collapse, and his arms would get pulled tight, and his breath would be cut short, and over again, that process for 6 hours. And then he died. We need to remember what put him there. We need to remember why he went to the cross. Isaiah 53 is really clear, very clear, the prophecy about him giving himself as a lamb to the slaughter. It was sin. It was our transgressions. It was our iniquities, our disobedience. Are moving in the realm of being carefree and just desiring to find satisfaction and pleasure for ourselves. That's why he was nailed to the cross. Not because the Roman authorities condemned him. Not because the Jewish religious leaders brought that sentence upon him. No, it was sin. That's why that died daily and that I'm crucified with Christ. That's why that's so important. That's why we've got to live that. Praise God. And make sure we're in the realm where the Lord wants us to be. Can we stand together? Oh God. I'd like for us to pray for just a few moments. We're going to have communion in just a few minutes. But let's just pray together right now, the body of Christ, calling upon the Lord together.
Oh Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord. Oh, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Mushala la kuma ya katise ende la rolobo kuma satanda. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Amen. He made peace through the blood of his cross, the scripture tells us. That was the price of that peace, the blood of his cross. We have forgiveness of sins through the blood of his cross. With his stripes, you are healed. Stripes, to me, seems like we know what it means, but I think if the modern translations made it more plain, made it more clear, the whip fell across his back and his arms, his legs, 39 times. I think that would help us to understand it better. Oh, precious blood. I'm thankful I know how powerful it is to wash away stains of sin, to heal my body. Oh my, what a great God, a tremendous God. Amen. Brother Mike, Sister Megan, would you help us? You go in the office and get the bread and the cup. Invite everyone to come and take the cup and the bread and return to your seat, and we'll partake together. But oh my, oh. Thank God, thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. Young and old alike, you're invited to participate. Praise God in the name of the Lord. All right, girls, if you want to get a cup and piece of bread, please come. And then continue on, please, each one. Praise God. Wonder-working power. We sang about in the blood. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Wonder-working because We know it does. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to the Lord. Oh, great God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord, praise God. Precious Savior, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Brother Greg, if you'd lead your role. Savior. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Praise your name. Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn here. Take my hand and then I'll take the hand. I'll serve you. The Apostle Paul writing, 1 Corinthians 11, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. How did that revelation come to Paul? How did he receive it? Oh my, an amazing thing. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, Lord Jesus. You're welcome to find a place to pray. You can stand where you are. You can sit there. Or you can come to the front, whatever you feel, but let's spend some time in prayer right now.